It's the After the Show podcast, precious.
We don't care. We're about to swear on the air. It's the After the Show, so tune in if you dare. KVJ, get your skay. Every single day is uncensored. We can say what we want to say.
Well, here we go. Back to it on Tuesday. Somebody sent an email and said, hey, I remember on The Office there was some episode about smashing stuff. How's the equipment today? Because I know that was kind of a theme.
Office Space, the movie.
Office Space, okay. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, Office Space, yeah. Cesar sent this in from Green Acres. And he said, yeah, they destroyed the printer from constant frustration of it not working. Maybe Friday was the day for the reenactment. Yeah, it was a frustrating day on Friday, and I, you know, after the show, I had a meeting with Randy, our program director, and I said, look, I said, you know, let's just, and they had a lot of other issues that started to unfold over the weekend, and I said, I'd like for it to run 24 hours before we come back in here. I said, I'm just, personally, I'm kind of over it. You know, it was 3 days that it affected of last week's show, and I said, let's get it fixed, because I don't like how I'm becoming. Like I need to. I'm just not handling it that well anymore. So
today was good.
Yeah, today was really good. So I think everything was okay. We did the show and everything was fine there. And they have put in orders for some new equipment and some other things. And so hopefully it's all going to start getting fixed. And like the rest of the world, I'm hoping for brighter days ahead.
Get back to getting in here and twerking and booty shaking.
Yes.
Ain't that right, mama?
I got to lose a little weight before I twerk.
I disagree. I think the more weight, the better to twerk. I got a little bit more meat on my ass right now, so I can make it clap.
It is difficult for me because I get winded quicker.
Well, that I get.
Okay.
And you know me, I like to twerk upside down.
It's beautiful.
It's my passion. And, you know, I just got an extra few LBs to try to flip upside down. It's strenuous.
Okay.
When I was hanging out with Panda over the weekend, we were hanging out with my buddy Bigfoot, we all weighed ourselves in front of each other. We all gained so much fucking weight. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I think you all weighed more than you thought you would. And that's tough.
I knew I was right around where I was. I was a pound heavier. I had just eaten two slices of Sicilian pizza, so I was pizza heavy. But yeah, it's not good, Kevin.
Not good, huh? Well, you're not alone. There's a lot of people that are,
yes,
you know, coming out of it.
We've been eating our feelings in my house.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Might do it again today. It's about to rain.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Come on, Margaret.
It's going to be raining pizza.
I don't know.
Get it together.
Yeah.
I know.
Maybe one day.
I know I'm going to get it together. It's just a matter of when.
What is the day?
I got to crash. I got to crash mentally and physically and spiritually.
Everybody knows you can't start a diet on a Tuesday.
Especially when storms are coming.
Yeah, you're right. It is hurricane season. I mean, it's...
Oh, it just started,
Kevin. That alone, just the fact that
you got 3 months of storms.
Yes. You can't start a diet until December 1st.
Shit. Well, then there's Christmas. I can't wait till February because you can't start after New Year's. It's too much pressure.
There really is no good time of year to have a diet. Maybe January, maybe.
Hashtag forever fat.
Yeah. No, I'll get it back together. It's fun to talk about.
Okay. Got a lot of emails we'll get to here today. Thank you for all the response on everything. mail@kvjshow.com. Pete said, love the show normally. Hate the politics. This is not CNN or Fox News. Stop it. Had to turn you off for the first time ever. We need the comedy relief, not this crap. Rant over. Have a great day. Well, if you didn't hear today's show, and, you know, my response to Pete on that is, first of all, I don't know that anything was political in any comments that we made.
No.
It was racial in the comments that we made. But
there's a difference.
Yes. And nothing political. And I got to tell you, honestly, there is a part of us, you have to have a soul when you do what we do. And I was upset that we couldn't do a show yesterday. And I felt like there was an obligation for us to be on yesterday. And unfortunately, that just didn't work out because I couldn't imagine the headspace I was in yesterday. And then if the equipment didn't work, I would have been looting our studio. So it was very unfortunate the timing of that because I did want to be on. And, you know, there's a part of me, and even in some of the fun that we had today, it was still a little bit with a heavy heart. You have to be into something to do this job. And to me, the realizations I've had over the last 48 hours, if I came in here and didn't address it and didn't say what was on my mind and acted like it didn't happen and acted like it didn't impact me and didn't say a word, I would betray exactly the revelations I created to myself. I couldn't do it. And so I'm sorry, selfishly, I came in here. I felt like I would have been a fraud if I had come in here and just didn't even address any of it. It's not easy to talk about. And honestly, I think you all know, we like to keep things very light. There's a lot of very tough discussions we just don't handle because we realize that this isn't the forum for that. But like I said, the realizations I had and saying the platform that you have, if you just act like everything is just great with the world, Kev, and just go on there and do fart jokes for 5 or 6 hours or whatever we're on for, I couldn't live with myself. And so what I did, I selfishly had to do because it had to be said. The things I said today and the comments that I read, I felt were necessary. And I'm sorry, Pete, that you couldn't sit through it. And if you felt that it was political, because the last thing I wanted to do is get political. I don't want to do that. You know me, I want to stay away from the politics. There's no winning in it.
It kind of just shows you how everything is political now. It's crazy. Yeah. There's certain topics we bring up, and I'm not just talking about the race issue. Other topics that get brought up on the show that you don't think it's political, or you're not going into it thinking it's political, and that someone says it is.
If wanting everybody to have an equal path to walk in this country is political, then I'm sorry. I'm political because I believe everybody deserves that. And for that, I'm not sorry.
And I think that you have to speak what's in your heart. And if you don't speak what's in your heart, then you're not doing this gig justice. You're not doing yourself justice. And if you're somebody who cares about humans, I don't care about politics. I think politics are stupid. This is not politics. This is human injustice. This is people talking about treating humans fairly. Please don't try to twist this into something political because it's not.
And I kind of had some guilt about all the times that maybe we should have said more. And if I came in today and didn't say anything, I wouldn't have been able to live with myself. So again, Pete, I'm sorry you felt that way. Sorry we lost you for an afternoon or a morning or whatever it might be, or maybe ever. I don't know.
But this is not political.
This is my new reality. And this is where I want to be. And I hope people hold me accountable to say, hey, Kev, I want to be a part of that. I've had conversations, but I haven't done anything with it. I want to understand more, and I want to be an active part of this. And I hope that there are people in our audience that want to be an active part of it, too. And I hope that we can give you opportunities to be a part of the solution. I hope that we can find that way to do that. I'm going to start having the conversations, and I've already had the conversations over this weekend on how we can do that. We're going to try to find a way. So I apologize, Pete, because if you hated today, you're going to hate a lot more coming up. I'm not done yet. Got an email here. This is a tough situation from Tracy. She said, I was just listening to your morning show. Kevin read a letter from a woman who spoke on her first encounter with racism. I am a mother of a 19-year-old female, half black, half white. Since her launch into adulthood, she is truly finding herself. She has never been very vocal on her views of discrimination, racism, police brutality, etc. Well, she's very vocal now. I raised her alone up until the age that she was 11. She wasn't raised to see color or to show hate. We lived in a mixed culture community, so she saw all walks of life. And to my point, she is now around peers who have experienced hate and discrimination. With this, I am noticing that she has completely forgotten that she is mixed. She is making hateful comments towards police, white people, etc. I'm not saying that her points are not valid, but she has never personally experienced a fraction of what some people have. She has expressed feelings that she thinks sometimes myself and my husband, a white man that legally adopted her, don't care about these issues. Just at a loss. Maybe you have some advice on how to approach her. Thank you for being a smile in the morning. I think this is tough for adults to try to process. I can't imagine being a teenager and being mixed and then trying to process the feelings you have. Anger is understandable. I think with a lot of things, people have to experience their feelings. They have to get through them. They have to let them out. They have to feel like they have a right to express themselves. And so I would, with a lot of things, let people burn out the anger and everything else that she is feeling. But continue to have that influence and that input, just reminding her that be a part of the change. And fighting with everybody and then I'm going to match hate with hate. Have her read some Martin Luther King Jr. stuff about even on that, about matching hate with hate and what he had to say. And say there was a lot of progress that he made in the civil rights movements in the 60s. We need a second civil rights movement to be this active. There is a template that is down there. So if you want to enact change, this is a great way to do it. If you try to match racism with racism, then we're not going to be successful. And we're going to have a lot bigger problems in this country.
And now might be a good time, too, for family therapy, for all of you to go together and get an African-American therapist. Somebody who can help everybody figure this whole thing out and navigate it and not splinter. Because I think that would be a better move. I think that she would hear this better from a therapist of color. I really do.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Don't give up. This is now the time to get more involved and help her more. And therapy for the whole family so that you guys don't grow apart is probably crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are going to see that somebody had texted in and they were a white person that had received some really nasty comments from somebody that was black. And it was, you know, the reversal of it. You're going to see all that kind of stuff. It's going to hurt you and you're going to be like, okay, I don't like that comment. And it probably is going to make you angry. But, you know, try to say people are hurting right now. And there are people on the fringes that are not acting the right way. They're not responding the proper way, the productive way. So let me be a part of the productive path of the people who are going with love, forgiveness, empathy, and are pushing this forward to make us a better place. Let's not go to the fringes of the people who are not. And identify that and realize it's going to take a long time to get everybody there. But if you can pull one person into that crowd and then they can pull another person in, then we start holding hands and linking up and all going together in the positive direction. And that's what it's going to take. One person at a time, your daughter at a time. So don't give up. Let her burn out her feelings, but continue to have conversations with her. Let her know I care, and here's my feelings on it. Here's a positive way to change the way that you feel. So I do appreciate all the perspectives and the emails that we got on that. Some other emails that have come in here today. Just questions about things going on. Jeff said, does anybody else have this problem? I'm back to working full time, but they keep sending me checks.
Wait, he's back? He's not back?
I'm back to working full time, but they keep sending me checks.
Unemployment checks?
Yeah.
Be careful with that. I think it's one of those things where the bank gives you money accidentally. Like you go to your ATM and there's $3 million in there. Just, I'd be careful spending all that money first. Make sure they're not going to fuck you after the fact, try to get that money back.
I wonder, because that is continuing to happen. My daughter is so pleased. She keeps getting checks in her bank, and she's like, hey, they sent me another one. She's like, cool. Where am I going today?
Well, if you're working full-time and you're getting a check, they're going to be able to prove that. I just don't want you to get screwed over.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is your employer, at the end of the year, is going to send all of your tax information to the IRS. And if they cross-check that with the unemployment checks that you received and you were double-dipping, don't think they're not going to come looking for you. It might take them a little bit.
Yeah,
but
this is good to know because, I mean, hey, if the government puts a check in my account, should I not do the right thing and spend it?
They're saying that what you should do is if you get erroneous payments from the government, send it back. So if it's direct deposited into your account, what they recommend you do is cut them a check and mail it to them as soon as possible with a note of explanation.
And maybe I'm off on this. I'm just going on personal experience. If something is too good to be true, usually it is.
Yeah.
You're getting money and you're working full time. It sounds too awesome.
Now, what you had to do was
for Uncle Sam to be.
And sometimes you feel, and I get this attitude. I have it too. I feel like, you know, the government's taken enough from me. It's about time they gave me a little something back.
I get it. I understand. Yes. If you get away with it, I'd be like,
yeah.
Rock on, my friend. I don't think you're going to get away with it.
Because a lot of times what happens is like 2, 3, 4 years later, they will audit you. Because this happened to me. When there were some discrepancies by a tax form that was prepared by someone other than myself, and the IRS came sniffing around like, wait a minute, this looks fraudulent. Oh, yeah, turns out it was.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want no one sniffing around nothing.
They gonna catch up. I mean, if you got free double money, just assume they're gonna catch up.
A text just came in and said, I believe you are supposed to go back to the unemployment site to tell them that you are back to work. Otherwise, you are committing fraud.
Yeah, it's too good to be true.
You don't want to be committing fraud. Because then they're going to hit you with penalties and interest on it and fines for defrauding the government. You don't want any part of that.
You don't want to be caught committing fraud.
Yeah. If you're going to do this, work under the table.
I get what you're thinking. It's a pandemic. Shit's crazy right now. Maybe it'll fly under the radar.
And it might.
You're going to get, no, you're going to get
for
screwed.
For a little while.
You'll get screwed.
But the long run, the long game.
In my experience, Uncle Sam, he always fucking gets you.
Yeah. They came after me and literally it was like 4 or 5 years later, they look.
Well, you don't want to spend all that money and then all of a sudden now you're double in the hole because you spent all that extra money.
And you will be because they'll be looking for their money plus penalties and interest and all that.
Yeah. Thought this was interesting follow-up to a conversation that we had late last week about that Micah Stauffer. I don't even know how you say her name. She's the YouTuber that adopted the autistic kid and then gave him to another family after the complications were too much.
She's losing all of her endorsements. She had a lot of endorsements for products and sponsors.
She has like 700,000 plus YouTube followers. She had a ton on Instagram, and she had three main national sponsors that were backing her up. And it was Friday we had talked about it, and Pamela said, I wasn't following her before, but I started looking into this after the story came out, and she came out with a tearful YouTube video with her and her husband talking about how it was just more than they had bargained for, and they needed to get him into a home where he could properly be cared for. It was very tearful and on and on. She said, here's my problem with it. Let's forget about how horrible it is to give the kid back, how scarring it must be for him, and how much trauma this will cause him. The really horrible part of this for me is that they gave him away a month ago while they were not saying anything about this. She kept posting about their almost month-long vacation in Bali, posting her regular cleaning videos, etc., and continued to make money online. The reason they had to say what had happened is because people started asking where the little boy went. They continued their life as normal. So I don't think she was so heartbroken, more like she was relieved. They never got him therapy, never got him a nurse or anyone else to help them. Zero effort was made to help this kid. Extremely disgusting. And to think that they were talking about adopting siblings at the end of last year, I hope they lose all their followers. These sponsors are already gone.
It's not looking good for them. I don't see them rebounding.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's something they recover from.
Well, they made their living and their notoriety from the internet. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, the internet, they're not too forgiving.
True, yeah. And there's just so much competition for it anymore. Everybody is trying to start a life living it on social media.
She put it on thick, too. I watched the video real thick.
Yeah, we played a good portion of the video on Friday. If you want to go back to the Friday show and listen to it, it was very tearful the entire time. Tomorrow will be World Record Wednesday.
Oh, shit.
What are you going to fail at this week?
Damn. It's so truthful yet so hurtful, but I got to take it. I got to take it. I keep failing.
Taylor said, I've been listening to your show since elementary school. I'm now a college grad from FAU. My family and I are huge fans of Jason and his ability to successfully identify various food and drinks while blindfolded.
Thank you.
I came across the Guinness World Record and immediately thought of you guys.
Oh.
The most ice cream flavors identified in 1 minute whilst blindfolded is 11.
Oh.
We would love to see Jason tackle this challenge and come out victorious. Best of luck, and remember, Bigfoot is real.
Bird.
Interesting.
If you got 12.
But here, keep in mind, though, that's very timed. We've done it before. It's relaxed. I can explore. I'm nervous.
Now, is it timed?
Yeah, a minute.
1 minute.
And it's 11.
They got 11.
Yeah, so it's, you got to go quick, and there's going to be no
They did this on Top Chef this week, where they blindfold you and have you taste all these ingredients. And it's fascinating how when you lose your vision, all you rely on is your taste buds to navigate you. It becomes real tricky.
I'm going on record right now. I don't think I'm going to be very good at that because it's so quick. I need to explore.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Let it dance on your palate.
I do better, but I would love to try it.
Okay.
I mean, it's failure.
It's ice cream.
It is ice cream.
I mean, you can't really say it's a bad day when you come to work and you're forced to try 12 ice creams.
What? I'm supposed to really be on a diet.
You said it was Pizza Tuesday. So too stormy to start a diet.
Ice cream Wednesday? Then I don't get going on Thursday. Fuck, I'm in a cycle cab. I need a...
Yeah.
You don't have to do
you
it
need
on,
to cycle.
You don't have to do it on the air, but I do need the Kevin Ralston Braveheart type speech.
You do. You need a pep talk. Huh?
I need it, man.
Get this thing going.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I start off the day so good, mm-hmm. and then right around 5:30 p.m.
The demons creep in.
The food demons creep in,
yeah.
and I hold off. I won't do anything, and then 7:30, I go ape shit and just eat a bunch of carbs and sweets and shit. I need you.
Okay. Well, I'm here for you.
All right.
I'm always here.
Just not at 5 p.m.
At certain times.
You don't want to see me during.
I'm here till noon.
I have a window.
I'm here till noon.
Yeah, can you, anytime I feel like I'm about to have an urge and eat something bad, can I call you?
You're his sponsor.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you say a lot of times, like 10 o'clock or something like that.
What if your sponsor sends you a voicemail?
Yeah, you're likely not going to get the sponsor.
If I get voicemail, I'll be knee-deep in fucking Stromboli's.
And it's his fault.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
It's definitely Kevin's fault.
My sponsor doesn't give a shit about me.
Yeah. That means I gotta eat. It's not my fault, it's his.
I just love food so much.
Well, I think we know. Do you believe in this pizza hack? Domino's in Australia shared this for reheating pizza in the microwave so it doesn't become soggy. They say to put a glass of water next to your piece of pizza in the microwave, then heat it up for 30 to 45 seconds and you'll get it.
That is definitely a good technique. I don't want to speak for you, Virginia, because I know you are the cook.
I don't put pizza in the microwave. I just don't.
Well, this weekend I had pizza, and it was not at my place. And the person put it on. They cooked it too long They put it on the barbecue, kind of like that.
Okay.
And normally, I would think that's a good idea. Left it on way too long, and the crust was thickety fucked. It was awful.
Were you sad?
I was so sad, but I had to act like I liked it.
Did you just want to eat the whole middle of it?
Well, there was a couple other slices that hadn't been reheated. I wanted to go in there and grab it, but it would have been a to-do. Now I'm making a statement. I basically say, I don't want your pizza.
Who cooked the pizza?
I'm not getting into that. You're always trying to make me make people feel bad.
Oh, no. Yep. I'm just an investigative journalist.
His name was Ron. We'll just go with that.
What are you doing hanging out with some random named Ron?
Exactly. I'm making shit up. So if I tell you the real name, you're going to ask me, if I make something up, who's Ron?
I'm just trying to figure out the truth with you.
Good luck. Keep on sniffing.
Somebody in the chat room said the best way to reheat pizza is a cast iron pan covered.
I've heard that before as well. You can't do it too long.
Pan. Yes. I like it.
My recommendation, because I've been burned, pun intended, so many times. Do not leave your cooking station for anything. Even to go piss. You stay there and you watch it cook.
You piss yourself next to the stove.
Piss your pants, eat your pizza, then wipe.
Then wipe?
Maybe not in that order.
Did you poo yourself too?
Well, I was talking for you. You have to wipe.
I do.
Your front.
Thank you for noticing. Are you watching me?
Somebody else said oven case closed. That's Chris.
Oven, you can walk away. Here's the great thing about the oven. You can set a timer on the stove, and you can walk away and live your life.
Totally disagree with that. Do not walk away. Do not walk away. Keep it warm, and then you constantly have to touch your pizza. Open it, let it sit for a minute and a half, touch your pizza.
I can't sit still that long.
Then you don't fucking want it. You don't have pizza pride.
I don't.
You don't.
I don't love it like you. I've said that.
You do. You have to stay at your station, Kevin, and every oven, every slice of pizza is different. You need to watch your pizza.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that advice. Jamie said air fryer to reheat pizza.
That's a great idea.
A lot of people getting these air fryers.
I know.
Yeah, we got one in my house. Oh, man. I tell you what's rocking in it. Spinach. Fantastic.
We're talking pizza.
Crisp spinach.
And my man comes here with some bullshit like spinach.
We have like some balsamic seasoning we put on it.
Kevin, you should bring that in so we can all try it.
It's amazing. I was like, whoa, I was blown away. It's almost like potato chips.
You're just as bad as Ryan Beckett. He's like, you're not going to believe this fucking kale I'm frying up. It's great. I ate that kale. This is bullshit, Beckett. Just like Kevin's broccoli or spinach, whatever the shit it is.
Why are you so mad? Why are you so mad at greenery?
He really is.
It's for your own good. It's healthy. Yeah.
Just don't act like it's awesome is all I'm saying.
Okay. Spinach, people. Spinach? Yeah, spinach.
I would so eat air fryer spinach.
It's delicious.
That sounds, but I love spinach.
It's fantastic.
I love it sauteed. I love it raw with some dressing. Yeah.
I feel like
I love it with some gorgonzola cheese crumbled on it.
Yeah.
If you had sauteed spinach.
Oh, I love it in a quiche.
Yeah.
I will fuck up a quiche.
Just what we want, your spinach egg farts in the studio. No.
Hot.
No quiche for you.
I could eat a whole entire quiche by myself and not share.
Okay, you want to try? Let's air fry some cheesecake. Let's do something cool.
Okay, Ashley said, I found this awesome twist on a super generic tattoo. I was wondering if the bird would get something like this as a joke. It says, what kind of Olive Garden cult is this and where can I join? It is a soup, breadsticks, salad, kind of in a figure eight with the words written out.
That is poetry.
Tattoo.
Gosh, I do love them breadsticks. Here's the thing, though. You got to get them and eat them at Olive Garden. Don't get to-go sticks.
Not okay. Even in an air fryer?
Well, that's an interesting point, okay. Fat Kevin.
Got a movie suggestion here for Suits. It's Airheads. The Adam Sandler movie.
He's not going to like that movie.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
Why do they want Suits to watch it?
Because we're doing that whole thing, Suits watch old classic movies.
Gotcha.
There's so many more Suits need to watch before Airheads.
And what about Wayne's World?
That one I totally agree with.
And that's not so old. That's, what, 20 years old? I think around 2000 it came out?
93. 1992, Wayne's World
Wayne's
came
World.
Out.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Austin Powers. Sorry.
Wayne's World, I think I saw four or five times in the theater. Went out on a date, Virginia. Her name was Lisa. Did not work out.
How'd she look?
I thought she was adorable.
All right.
Mm-hmm. What'd she think about you?
I don't think she liked me too much after.
I like this chick.
That's the girl that I had the love journal with. After each period, we'd meet up and it would hand off this love journal, and you write a little passage and you give it back to her. Then she writes a passage.
Her entries were all blank.
Well, this love journal was only a week long.
It's a one sided journal.
It was a week long.
And every entry is less and less powerful as the one before.
Aww.
You could see it wearing off.
You could tell the love was starting to wane.
Lisa was like, this sap.
Yeah, this month he's always listening to fucking Sad Billy Joel. What the fuck is wrong? I want to listen to Whoop, There It Is.
Tony from The Pizzle says, I'm writing to let you guys know that you need to get Denny's more airtime on the show. He is the most interesting character, and it helps to offset the stupidity of Virginia and Jason.
We agree.
Yes. I will tell you, honestly, with Denny's, he does a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and maybe one day we'll replace the behind-the-scenes work with somebody else that could do it, and then he could spend more time in here if he wants.
That's just it, though. People don't realize Denny's doesn't love... He doesn't love being in front of a microphone or a camera. He does it to be cool, and he knows it means a lot to me personally and for the show, but he don't love it.
And I'm uncool because I've given him... 3 segments dedicated to solely him. No one else on the show, I don't even think, has 1 segment. Denny's has 3. From He Knows When You're High to His Denny's Are Animal and His Joke Jury. So I don't think I have a segment. Do you got a segment? Anybody else got a segment?
No.
Denny's has 3.
He is that good, though.
He is that good.
He deserves 3.
Yeah, and I'm already like, poor guy. Make him do all this extra work.
I think you should fire me and take him.
Done.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I've had
enough. Could you see Jason producing?
Yeah, no one's getting out that easy.
Kevin hired me. People always think I was an intern. I was hired as a producer. That's when I started.
That's what we had to call it back then, but it was never that.
No. I did a lot more stuff behind the scenes, though, back then. At one, before Heather got there, when Mariana left, there was a good month where I was in charge of things behind the scenes with audio and all that stuff. Thank God Heather came around.
Got this great photo. You remember Dwight, still a friend of ours. He used to work with us in promotions, and he was actually one of the people that tried out to be the next Todd all the way back when we hired Jaybird, I think, in 2004.
He's doing, like, real estate now.
Yeah, he's doing fantastic.
Diversified.
Yeah, yeah. I still see and talk to Dwight, and he sent in that photo. Talk about a flashback if you're watching KVJ TV. That is Jaybird, and all the other guys are in Playboy Bunny costumes. That was during the tryout for the next Todd.
It was so funny. Other than, I believe, Corey?
Yeah, I
Cody,
think
Cody,
Cody,
my,
yeah,
geez,
Cody,
my
yeah.
God, Cody, the other guys, they were like, by day three, they were all quietly telling me, we don't want this job.
We realize this ain't us.
Yeah, like you came in catcher's gear.
Yeah, there you go. So
I still talk with some of those guys.
Those guys were awesome.
They were. Drill, yeah.
Well, Dwight is a friend.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yes. Absolutely, yeah. We still communicate.
I see
Dwight.
Phil the Drill on social media.
One time my daughter was was at a high school basketball game, and Phil the Drill was the referee. I was like, that's Phil the Drill.
Phil, I went to college with Phil the Drill. We were in, so I knew him going to the contest. He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool to see all that. So thanks for that little flashback photo. Appreciate that.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Got this is a nice little welcome sign. Anna sent this in, said, I'm so excited about our new sign hanging in the dining room. I have scones to go on each side of it, but I couldn't wait to get this up there. It says, welcome. It's a nice, you know, nice script kind of thing. And you see those welcome signs, whether it be a mat or something like that. And so it's a sign like that that you hang on the wall. And it's got that beautiful script. It's just so peaceful and says home to it. It says, welcome. Let's talk about serial killers.
That's my kind of
which you just see the welcome and you'd be like what?
That is hilarious. I would definitely put that on my wall.
Yeah. There you go.
Some people love talking serial killers, Virginia.
I know, I get it. Some people hang scones on their wall.
You sort of do like talking about serial killers.
I do.
I bait you in, and then you have just as many horrifying stories as I do.
I actually really get into the Dateline stuff, and you got in my car the other day, and I was listening to a Dateline podcast.
It's good stuff, man.
It is. It's just, for me, what I look at it like is it prepares me for the world just to know that these people are amongst us. It's like getting an evil playbook from the bad guys and knowing, okay, this is what they're capable of, and there are people out there that would do these evil things. Just so you know, don't live in lollipops and rainbows and unicorns and all that. Like, there are some pretty evil people out there that are capable of bad stuff, so don't just think that everybody's sweet like you.
The thing that I do, which it does help for some of the stuff for Weird and whatever, because we do like talking about cold cases sometimes on our podcast. The stuff that happened here in South Florida just throughout the years, cold cases, murder cases, that you read these stories and you can't believe. Back then, some of those stories never got publicity because they just didn't do that stuff back then. Mm-hmm. And these cases are cold. Nobody talking about them anymore. Some parents go to the grave never knowing what happened to their child.
That's tough.
Not even if they find out that they got murdered. Just they don't
disappear.
Know. Disappeared and not even know. I mean, that's rough.
It is very rough.
Got a nice email here from Tracy. She said, in October 2018, you all did something wonderful for my younger son, Jesse, when you invited us to join the show. And I'm reaching out to you again to see if you would do something as awesome for my older son, Ryan. He's a senior at Wellington High School in their fire academy, and I'm organizing a graduation drive-by. an hour before on his virtual graduation that they're going to be having, and would like to invite you guys. My son is a big fan of the KBJ crew and the snack pack, and I was wondering if anybody would be able to come out. And thankfully, we had some people that were able to come out from the radio station and join in on that. And we have a video that we're going to be posting up on our social media from showing up out there, and just really cool and thankful that Tracy was thinking of us and let us be a part of your special moment. If you're watching KBJ TV, that's just a quick little snippet of what was going on there. You can see the crowd of traffic they had going out front of their house.
Aw, that's lovely.
Yeah, how cool it was. And we had the KBJ vehicle in that. We're a part of it. So thank you for letting us be a part of something so beautiful and awesome. And hopefully the graduation, everything went great. So.
Yes, love congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for that. So very cool stuff. All right, y'all, I am noticing my deodorant is starting to give out.
I forgot to put deodorant on today.
Well, I forgot to set my alarm clock because I didn't want to wake up at 3:45 yesterday when we weren't coming in, and I forgot to switch it on last night.
Oh.
And I woke up, I'm like, it feels later than my normal time, and sure enough, it was by an hour. So
oh.
I raced up, threw on a hat, got here, no deodorant, and... yeah, I'm getting a little gamey.
I don't know, man. It might be worse.
It's time to go. I'm smelling myself. So we're trying to kind of get back into the groove. Hopefully by Wednesday we'll hit it. Thank y'all for being here. We'll see you then. Goodbye.